Welcome to the Maverick Podcast, business growth tips and discussions to make you the expert in demand.
Hello, welcome to this episode of the Maverick Podcast. I am Luke Tu, and today I'm joined by Jody Whittle from Absolute Media. Hi, Jody. How are you today?
Hi, Luke. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. So I ask this to a lot of our guests that come in. So can you just explain to everyone who's listening and watching who you are and what you've been doing for the last two years?
Yeah, sure. I'm Jody. I'm the sales director at Absolute Digital Media. My background in digital marketing has spanned across the last 10 years or so. Which I hate to admit, because it's kind of showing my age a little bit. I've been agency side for those last 10 years. So worked at three different agencies, all of varying different sizes. So my sort of experience has sort of spanned across lots of different industries, lots of different types of clients. And of course, over the last 10 years, the digital landscape has changed very drastically. So it's all about keeping up with the times and you know, moving forward, keeping ahead of the game with everything. And I think within my role as sort of from a sales perspective, I'm not a special, I'm not there sort of day to day in the nitty gritty specializing in one particular digital marketing channel. It's really important for me to have a really broad understanding across all the different digital channels so that I can sort of help. It's sort of, you know, dealing with new client inquiries that are coming into the business, and they don't always know exactly what channels are right for them. So I've got to have that sort of broad understanding across all channels so I can help advise and have the conversations and look at which channels are best for the prospects that are getting in touch with us.
That's great. So when it comes to, obviously, you've got the sales life, as well as you work for this digital agency, because you work with SEO and PPC and digital PR. There's a lot of channels that you're working in there. And this is something that we actually talk about in Maverick as well. It seems like the job or the role of sales and marketing is kind of, they used to have sort of one of those butt heads moments where you've got the marketing team, you've got the sales team, and they each want to do what they want to do, want to market, and sometimes they can get siloed. And you also have the conversations where, oh, we want to do this, and we want to do this, and it kind of has that back and forth. But I feel like the role itself is kind of evolving in itself, where the sales team and sales professionals need to have a modicum of marketing experience around them when, you know, to create content for their social medias and build their brands up, as well as understanding a little bit more about you know, PPV, pay-per-click, and the rest of how the leads are being generated, as well as the marketing side of things, where they need to understand more about the sales, you know, driving people to the pipeline, you know, how to communicate the message. So when you have the calls, people are more primed and warmed, and they have, you know, a more in-depth call. So it's kind of they're smashing together. It's at an alarming rate, I would say.
No, I think you're completely right there. I think there has been, you know, in the past, there has been very two separate entities with sales and marketing, but the two are merging closer and closer together. I certainly don't think any sales team is fully equipped if they don't have a really strong marketing team behind them. Now, the nice thing about working in sales for a marketing agency is that we're really, really geared up for marketing. So that really, really helps, you know, my role. It's something that absolutely fantastic in, you know, investing in their own marketing team. Jasmine, who works Absolute, does an incredible job of bringing all the kind of client work to life, so that we can showcase that to new prospects and to new clients coming on board. And I've really got lots of great tools to be able to help me do my job. So I've got credibility documents at my fingertips. I've got great case studies. I can just jump on our own website and just grab a link and send that across. Constantly being updated. It's always kind of at the forefront of our minds to make sure we've got those really up-to-date client campaign results, shouting about the work and shouting about the great success stories that we've got. One thing that Jazz also does is focus on showcasing by going through award entries. So we've been, you know, shortlisted and won a really large range of awards for the work that the teams are doing. And again, that really makes my job a lot easier as a salesperson, because I've got all this credibility to back up what I'm saying, to give us that trust and give us that credibility to help. So I suppose from a, you know, translating that into a business point of view and from a brand's point of view, I know, you know, we're a marketing agency, we do know what we're doing, and we've got these kind of ideas at our fingertips, but it's thinking about how you can showcase your own brand's credibility. And it might not always be awards, you know, that's relevant to our industry. It might be certain accreditations in some businesses. It might be having, you know, some of the ISO quality accreditations or that kind of thing, or, you know, big one that's pretty much relevant across all businesses, is gaining testimonials and positive client reviews. I think we're very much, you know, as a consumer, whether that be in a B2B or a B2C environment, we're all now wanting to take other people's opinions and experiences, see how they've dealt with these companies that we're looking to work with, and really trust in reviews. So I think as a brand and as a business, investing in that time to get reviews from customers, because people are very quick to leave negative comments. Yeah. You know, if somebody doesn't like something, we all know, don't we?
It's interesting. Yep. Because when it comes to services, no service is kind of similar. And today, online and everywhere else, there are so many different services out there. And everyone has, yeah, loads of different scenarios. And I feel like the best selling point is when you see a testimonial which goes, I was in that position as well. Like, that's me. Because everyone has a unique approach. Everyone has a unique way their business developed. And over time, different problems arise. And when you can see that someone says, oh, I was having this issue, then I tried this. And as they're describing that, you'll go, yeah, no, I did that. And then they, yeah, go, and then I found this service which really helped me. What's going to happen? You're going to go straight to that service and go, I've been having the same issue. I saw, you know, this, yeah, testimony. I want that. Problem, yeah, fixed.
Yeah, so that's it.
With new business owners who don't have marketing teams and don't have sales teams, what would you say would be the most useful tool they could have? Because you mentioned you've got a lot of resources from the website. What should people be focusing on creating that would help themselves?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different marketing channels, isn't there, to sort of think about and to consider. Absolutely, you know, we offer services that are perhaps where you need that marketing budget to be able to invest, because they're a little bit more specialist. So search engine optimization, pay-per-click, and they're not always the easiest things to pick up as a small business owner when you haven't got that resource. So having, you know, being able to start building a bank of sort of credibility documents. So build, I would say, making sure from a resource point of view, you're building out case studies, updating them regularly, asking for client reviews and testimonials. But when it comes down to sort of your more direct lead generation channels or kind of, you know, driving traffic through to your website to drive sales, if you're e-commerce, you just using Google as a tool to actually give you some idea of intent. So, you know, so you might think, oh, you know, I really want to make sure I'm visible for X, Y, and Z keywords, but making sure we type those into Google and have a look at what the search results are returning, and that will give you an idea. Are your competitors investing in paid search ads? You know, go to Facebook, go to your social media channels and have a look at perhaps some of your competitors and see what they're doing there. There's so many different types of marketing channels to choose from. I think when you've got quite a limited budget, it's important to really focus on one area at a time. So if you've got quite a limited budget, trying to do absolutely everything all at once isn't necessarily going to get you the best results. So if you can afford to begin investing in some specialist marketing services, make sure you're really focusing that budget in one area, get your return on investment from that, and then you can start scaling to the next area. So all about sort of prioritization, but really looking at what's going to get you that best return to begin with. I was running some training this morning for one of my team members, and we were talking about sort of keyword intent and how it can make a really big difference. So the example I was using was men's watches. So you type in men's watches into Google. You get some shopping search results up at the top. But men's watches is quite broad. You can buy a watch from Argos for, you know, probably £35, £40, yeah, something like that, right the way through to your really super designer luxury watches. We're probably talking, you know, you could probably buy a watch for about 100K. So the scale there is massive. So then if you refine your search and you know, let's say you're wanting to bid on that keyword from a paid point of view to appear in the shopping ads for men's watches, yeah, there'll be a huge search volume for that. But actually, how relevant is that to the audience? Because it's quite broad. So, you know, narrow it down. If you type in cheap men's watches, depending on your products, obviously, you get Google are then returning shopping ads with a price range of that sort of that lower end, £30-£35 up to maybe a grand. And then you type in designer men's watches, and then suddenly the cheapest watch there is £500, and it's going right up to your higher end of the scale. So you've got a little bit more, you've got a little bit more of targeting behind what you're looking at. So it's also thinking, how can you narrow down and be really focused on what you're selling, what's really hyper relevant to your audience, and how can you get that messaging, you know, how can you get in front of those people without being too broad and just trying to capture everyone all at once. So being really quite, you know, getting as specific as you can, the really high intent purchases that you can get to drive that initial return, and you can start to scale on there and get broader as time goes on, you know, to capture more of that market. I think I answered the question there, Luke. I went off on a bit of a tangent.
Yes, when it comes to the Google searches, when you've got one or two key phrases, I think the more traffic you're trying to generate from those small pages, you need to have a lot of you do link building as well. So you have to have a lot of traffic going to those pages. If you want to do it organically, it can be quite tough, which is why you use a lot of, you know, pay-per-click versions. But when it comes to finding that niche, I believe questions are really good for that. So you'll search for, say, search for LinkedIn training, because that's, you know, a lot of people who search for Maverick usually goes hand in hand with some LinkedIn training. You will see down there, you'll have a lot of questions like, what is the best training for me? Or if I want to achieve this, or if I want to achieve this. So you keep looking at the recommended questions, and from there, you get all of the snippets and results from there. We found snippets actually work really well, because it shows intent if someone's trying to improve anything about any topic, really, like, how can I achieve this? And then if you have anything revolving around your business, which says, oh, this is how you can achieve this. Also, if you want to take a step further, you know, it's providing that value. As we mentioned before about social, not social proof, about credibility, and social proof and credibility kind of come hand in hand, where you're providing that value out there that says, I know what I'm talking about because I'm providing you the answers, essentially.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, it's the EAT, the expertise, authority, and trust, and that plays into Google's algorithm. You know, we don't go to Google just to purchase things, we go to Google to find information. I mean, everybody sort of coins the phrase Google it.
Yeah.
you don't know the answer to something, Google it and find the answer. So you're absolutely right. And again, that's where a manual search and just looking at the actual Google results can really give you ideas on what can help mold your marketing campaign. So, you know, if you're not in that position yet where you can afford to invest that budget into a specialist service, using the people also ask questions, looking at even, you know, when you start typing a search phrase into the search bar, Google starts to guess what you're writing. It'll give you sort of suggested searches. And Google, everybody's Googling so many things day in, day out. Google's got such a massive wealth of information. It can really help guide you on what people are searching for related to your product or service. So looking at the people to ask and answering some of those questions by creating content and publishing that perhaps in a blog or advice or news section on your website, and just, you know, not even thinking about optimization. The best kind of content is naturally answering a question. You can use the existing results as a bit of a guide. So often if it's how much does something cost, Google's going to be expecting that there's some kind of pricing or numbers within that, that information, the content. But who's already gaining those snippets? And if it's, you know, tables of information or comparisons, is it long form content? How are the headings broken down? Just looking at what's already ranking and what's already there can help. Not copying it, because, you know, we don't want to be copying it.
Yeah. You can get an understanding of how it's structured, and then you can use it. Because a lot, you could go through, if it's the top 10, they use the lists, they'll do the 1 to 10 and they'll add the 1 to 10 for you. If it's a block of information, it is a paragraph, and if it's an event, or if it's it's a graph, they'll usually put that graph in the results page for you. So it really helps understanding what Google is, how it's using information, how it's presenting that information. So when it sees that your blog and your article is the easiest place to get that information, it'll go, okay, we'll put that in. Because I feel you can overcomplicate it. I think a lot of the time when it comes to anything that you're putting out there, you know more than a person who is just starting out. But there'll be a lot of abbreviations, there'll be a lot of, you know, complicated ways of saying something, which you could just try and keep simple it down, keep pushing it down until you think, am I going crazy? I'm literally just, you know, I'm chopping this up. It's like, there's no way I can make the sentence shorter. There's a way you can make the sentence shorter. I need to put it out there. And then Google will go, okay, that is the most concise information. I'm going to put that out there. And then from that, you do get, you know, more people on your website, you get more people into your world, and then you can then move past that and you know, work on the full funnel. So
it's helping from an FAQ point of view, isn't it? Like it's what your audience are asking questions, it's what they want to know and learn and find out. So it gives you that first touch point from a brand awareness point of view as well. So even if they're not quite ready to buy right now, it's giving them that touch point with your brand that actually when they move further down that funnel, you've already had that brand touch point. And often it can take a few touch points before, you know, before they settle with your business.
Which I think is good, because then you can also have different keywords and you can really expand that out in your blogs. And by keep pushing that content out, even if it is lead magnets, even if it's credibility documents. Because in it's August now. So currently you can tell that every time you've emailed someone, it's probably gone to an out of office, or I'm in Barbados, or I'm in Lanzarote. Isn't this a great adventure we're having? But you're there going, okay, a lot of people are away, so now is the time for us marketing and salespeople to really get together and really refine our message going into September, where everything starts getting back into into the crazy worlds of, you know, a lot of calls, a lot of magnets going through. So that also affects the pay-per-click as well, because there's a lot of traffic going to those key phrases, because when people are in the office and learning and, you know, trying to get services, it shortens it down, doesn't it? So the spend kind of goes down, because no one's at their desk, essentially.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the seasonal trends, you know, the cost of advertising from, you know, from a pay-per-click point of view varies, doesn't it, throughout the year. I mean, you start on the run-up to Christmas, there's certain businesses that it just doesn't make sense to be pumping money into paid advertising when there's so many other advertisers wanting to compete for that space. So I sort of use myself as an example. Let's say, you know, on an evening, I'm scrolling Facebook, the ads that I see aren't just of one topic. I'm not just getting shown ads about SEO analysis tools or, you know, sales lead gen software or whatever. I might see a bit of that, but actually I'm also seeing, you know, I've got two children, so I get shown ads that are to do with family days out or family holidays. I'm into my running, so I might get shown ads about sportswear and activewear. Every individual person has got so many different likes and so many different personality traits, I suppose, that actually that activewear company is not competing with Semrush, who were also wanting to show me ads, but actually they are, because they're you know, I'm part of that whole audience demographic that I like both of those things. So that space in my feed has got to compete for all these different types of things. So when it comes to the lead up to Christmas and all the different advertisers that are, you know, they warrant that pumping that budget in, because they've got a really peak period where it's going to be busy, lots of opportunities for sales. But actually, if you're a business where Christmas isn't a seasonal period for you, let's say, you know, a household item like buying a new boiler, for example, you know, it's not necessarily at the forefront, unless it's broken, of course, but it's not necessarily going to be top of your list until, you know, until Christmas is out of the way. So it's thinking about what, even the right times to be invested in certain channels. SEO is a little bit different because
it's the priorities of your audience rather than the priorities of just you. Because you could be, I want to sell, you know, 1,000 boilers, it's in the dead of summer and no one's boiler's broken. So am I going to keep asking people to buy them? No, I'm going to try and, you know, work on a strategy somewhere else.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's all comes down to the, if it costs you £300 to sell a boiler in January, but it costs you £700 to sell a boiler in December because the cost of advertising is so much higher, it's kind of a no-brainer that you up your ad budget the next month than spend it when it's expensive. SEO is a little bit different because it's more of a constant. We want, you know, you need to be constantly having that consistent building links back to the website, so you're getting those references, so Google can see that you're active and constantly building on your content strategy. So from a SEO activity point of view, it's a little bit different. And again, that comes down maybe to your core business priorities, and if this is something that you're trying to build up initially on your own without that investment and help of an external agency, like you quite rightly said, use your down periods, like when it quietens off, when lots of people are on holiday and you've got less of those meetings and conversations. And actually Christmas, the sort of Christmas period, could for some people be a quieter time. A lot of people will shut down again, you know, I'm out of office for 2 weeks now. I'm on Christmas mode. The kids are off and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's using your time wisely and focusing on the right areas at the right time.
Yeah, I feel when it comes to this, the digital marketing side, where it is figures and it's money and it's analytics. The figures and analytics will show you the trends. But you need a little bit of the mindset of a person where you're, okay, you know, am I doing the right thing by pursuing this in now? Like you mentioned, with SEO, you have to, you know, keep on churning it through. But when it comes to, you know, those big campaigns, you should really know when the right time is, because there'll be an uptake in, you know, the business at that time. So. I was going to run into into another question. We've got there's a segment I kind of shoehorn in during my interviews, which is kind of an expert tip. It's a cheesy way of saying it, but what is the one expert tip you've got for people in business right now to improve their digital marketing?
I probably leads on from what I was just about to say, actually. Touching on Google Analytics, use the data that is readily available to you. Use the insights that you can get. Google Analytics is a free tool. It's relatively straightforward to add to your website. If you've got any sort of modern website, there's generally an area within your CMS where you can add the Google Analytics code because it's so widely used. But this is data that is readily available to you. So rather than just trying to, you know, take a stab in the dark and go, okay, let's go for that. Try and understand your user behavior. Try and understand where your traffic is coming from at the moment. Look at what's working really well for you. Making sure that you've got sort of your tracking set up within Google Analytics so you can really understand where people come into the website, where they're perhaps dropping out of the funnel. That can give you those insights of areas of the website that you might need to work on a little bit more to bring your conversions up. Find those. You know, just by bringing your conversion rate up, you can make a really significant difference to the traffic that's landing on your website. So as I Google, you know, use those free tools, use Google Search Console is another one to just give you that extra bit of insight into what keywords people are finding you for, what your top landing page is. But bearing in mind that it's Google Analytics 4 coming next year. So making sure you've got the Google Analytics 4 property set up this year is quite a topical thing at the moment in digital marketing, because we want to be collecting data in the new Google Analytics 4 property. So we've got that data to compare to when the old Universal Analytics finishes next summer.
Fantastic. So I'll just do a quick sign off. Thank you again, Jodie, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Merit Podcast, please subscribe to us and click the notification bell if you're on YouTube, and share for anyone who needs a little bit more guidance on their marketing or business growth. Thanks again, Jodie, for coming on to the podcast, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, Luke. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me on.